The Gospel of Luke tonight, the 11th chapter. We're going to read some very familiar scriptures tonight. And Luke chapter number 11. I have not preached on this in a long time, and it's long overdue, just from my perspective. So let's look here tonight at just the first four verses this evening. And these are verses that we know, we've heard, we've read, we've prayed. But we're going to look at these verses here tonight. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, I thank you for this day that you've given to us. I thank you that, Lord, you blessed us with your grace and your help and your presence. Lord, I ask you that you just open up our hearts and minds to this text tonight. Lord, we know that you want to draw us closer together in prayer, and Lord, that you want to use the time that we pray together to be transformed, Lord, really, in your presence. And so I pray, God, that you would open up our hearts tonight and help us to see the truths in this text and to hear your words this evening. And Father, help change our hearts and even maybe perhaps the way that we pray. And Lord, help us to hear your direction tonight. And we'll thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Give me just a moment here. There we go. In the old days, I just pop my pen out and I'd write on this here. You got to like hit the little buttons right where they're at to type more notes. All right. So, what I want to look at this evening is Jesus has given a prayer here, and the reason I want to look at this, let me just take a little time to get to kind of segue into this. Sometime back, the Lord just kind of put it on my heart that we need to take some more time to pray. I mean, the Lord's house is called not a house of preaching, not a house of singing, but what did Jesus say? My house should be called a house of prayer. And so one of the things that honestly we as Christians, we don't do a lot of together in church like people used to do is prayer. You've heard it said before, years ago we sang Sweet Hour of Prayer, and now we sing just a little Talk with Jesus. And when you look at the way the songs go, you wonder why they've even talked about that. Not, you know, we could you know spend a little time picking apart songs, but what I want to do tonight, because we've begun to pray some as a church, as a congregation, I want to look briefly at the biblical pattern that God's given to us in regard to prayer. And the reason I want to look at that is I want to encourage you to use this pattern in your own prayer life. Now here's the thing, You mentioned this, and sometimes you know how people can be. We'll say, well, here's what the Bible says, and you know sometimes it doesn't always feel right necessarily. You know what I'm saying? That sometimes people have to grow into things, and I understand that. But here's the thing: somebody may hear this tonight and say, well, that's just not the way that I pray. That's not the pattern that I use. And I hear what people are saying. But here's the thing: it's completely fine for you to conform yourself to the pattern that God gives. Watch me. Even if it doesn't feel right in the flesh, it's completely in biblical order to conform ourselves to this pattern. Now, I'm going to say just a couple of things about this and then look at it. But first of all, this is a pattern for prayer. This is not something that is to be repeated over and over. I can still remember part of the Mass that we would say, you know, every time we'd go to the Catholic Church, we would repeat the words that our Savior gave us, our Father who art in heaven, and we would, you know, quote the prayer, you know, etc. But having said that, this is not a prayer that we simply quote. This is not what we call the Lord's Prayer. Typically, people call this the Lord's Prayer, but this is what we would call the model prayer. Some people call it the disciples' prayer. And if you've heard before, the Lord's Prayer proper, the one that he prayed, is found in the Gospel of John, chapter number 17, as he's praying before they enter into the garden. So this is the model prayer. How is it that we pray? Typically, here's what happens. We get down, dear God, thank you for this day. Bless X, bless Y, bless Z, give this, give that. In Jesus' name, amen. And zip, we're out the door. We have a McDonald's drive-through mentality oftentimes of prayer. And prayer is part of a relationship that is a living and breathing relationship. We're going to talk about that in a little while tonight. But the thing that I want us to see is that as we go on, I've been here for quite a while, and as we go on, probably what we're going to be doing is when we come in to pray, we're going to be, you know, asking Savannah to play for us for some time. And we won't always be at 5 minutes. We might go from 5 to 6, 6 to 7, and keep going. Don't worry, we're not going to pray for an hour necessarily. I don't know that we could handle that, you know, right away. But at the same time, we need to be able to have a pattern to pray. As a pastor and as a Christian, I have sat, or kneeled rather, and listened to people pray. And oftentimes, and I'm not going to throw off on anybody's prayer necessarily here tonight. I'm not doing that, okay? I'm not doing that. But a lot of times when we come in to pray, usually it's that, you know, the dear God, the dear Jesus. There may be a thank you in there, and it's, you know, please bless this, please bless that, please bless that. And then all of a sudden, we go silent. And if we were to be in a prayer meeting, churches do it differently. We kind of have everybody pray together, let Savannah play. In some churches, they'll do a men's prayer meeting where we may have, or even like a church-wide prayer meeting, several ways to do it. Men's prayer meeting, get together, have 6-8 men, and we'll just have, let's say we'd have Brother Kurt, Brother David, and Brother John, let's just throw those names out, pray. And while they pray over all the prayer requests, we just pray silently. Okay, or as Brother Kurt prays, then Brother David prays, then we get Brother John, then we come back up to Brother Artie, get me, and then we move on down the line till everybody's had a chance to pray. And so sometimes that's why prayer meetings would last so long, because it would take certain people certain times to pray. But I want to look at tonight is this particular text, and I want us to use it as a model in praying. And tonight at the end of the service, when Savannah plays, we're going to give you a chance to at least in your mind, silently if you want, to use this prayer as a model to go by. Use it as a pattern. Now having said that, you're not going to be able to fill in all the gaps that somebody who's been praying using this model for a longer time would. It's something that you're going to grow in. I do expect Dylan and Blaze to have a shorter prayer time than somebody like Brother Artie, who's been around for a little bit longer, okay? Or even, you know, Brother John, Brother Kurt, I would expect that simply because they're learning. And part of where you and I will learn how to pray is by listening as other people pray. Okay, so understand that. So here's the situation. Let's look at that. Jesus is asked for personal instruction on how to pray. Now that ought to just, bing, stop. Look at that for a minute. Instead of putting it in park and letting it idle, put it in park and just go ahead and shut the engine off for a minute, okay? Here's why. Because Jesus has been asked for instruction on how to pray. You couldn't find it any better way to pray than to get at the words from Jesus himself. And so notice that when they pray, when they ask him, notice this, just look in verse number 1. Came to pass that as he, that's Christ, praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Notice that the disciple, we don't know who it was very respectful because he waited until Jesus had finished praying before he asked him this question. Now, we don't know if it was because of what he heard Jesus pray in that particular instance. We don't know if it's something that he's heard in times past. But there's enough of Jesus' prayer life that got his attention for him to request that Jesus teach him to pray. And maybe it was also something missing in his own prayer life. You know, hearing Jesus pray and then comparing that with how I pray, there's going to be a huge, huge gap between the model prayer, how Jesus prays, and how I would pray. So perhaps it was a struggle in his life that brought him to this place to ask him how to ask Christ how to pray. And so with that, he's very respectful, but here's the request. Okay? And the request is this: teach us to pray. And not just that, because John also taught his disciples how to pray. We don't have a pattern that John gave to his disciples. And even if we did, we would simply compare it and see where Jesus took John's prayer life and went a step beyond his prayer life. But it's interesting that John was known as a man of prayer because his disciples learned how to pray from him. And if nothing else, if I can do my best to encourage our church to pray, it will help us to grow as a church. Jesus said in John 15:6, "For without me you can do nothing." And you've heard it before, nothing is a zero with the ring knocked off of it. Nothing. We can't do anything. And if anything's going to be done, it's going to be done in response to prayer. There are times when God has moved in the preaching service the last year or two where it was because somebody in this congregation, whether it was the week before, whether it was during service, got a hold of God, and God began to move in the service. And, you know, and honestly, let's stop and think about this for a minute. How many times have we seen people saved in the services here? Been a while. How many people do we see moving up closer? Now look, I don't push an altar call. I don't push it. But sometimes I think I may need to turn a little bit of the heat up simply because I would like to see some folks move a little closer. And what's interesting is generally it's the younger children who bring their parents to pray. That's happened before. And I've been in churches for years, and listen to me, and I'm not throwing off on anybody here tonight, but I'm going to tell you this. I've been in churches before, and I have seen people sit on pews. Never one time in any message, in any altar call, ever feel a need to go to pray. Something's not right about that. And I'm fine with praying at your seat. I'm fine with that. I know mom's got children and all. I get that. I understand that. But you know, at some point in time, God's going to speak to our hearts where it's going to do something to where, and even if you don't come to the front to pray, you're going to have an overwhelming need to get up, stand up, turn around and kneel down at your seat and pray there. So let's look here just for a minute at this prayer that was given at the request of the disciples. Now I'm going to make things easy on you tonight. You ready? I'm going to give you the three words that I want you to get tonight. We're going to hang everything on these three words, everything tonight on these three words. And as we pray, I want you to keep these three words in mind. The first word is relationship. I want you to get the first word tonight, that is relationship. The second word tonight is reverence. The third word is request. Okay? Relationship, reverence, and request. And we're going to see that in the text tonight. Now, I want you to see this, that this is a model prayer. Okay? Now, what is a model? Typically, it's a smaller scale version of the real thing. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you guys put together model cars, model airplanes, models when you were younger? All right. The coolest thing about Rocky Branch's Vacation Bible School, whenever we were going to church there back in the 90s, is that the boys, they got all the boys model cars to put together. And it was like, yes, this was cool. I don't have a single one of the model cars that we worked on. They're gone. But that was really cool. I enjoyed the models. Now let me ask you a question. Does a model car run? Not necessarily. Not unless it's a small model with a gas engine. Okay. Is there a gas engine inside the hood, under the hood of that model car? No, there's not. There's a model of an engine. But I guarantee if you were to take that thing and cut it open, you wouldn't have to worry about like the valve cover gasket and whether or not there's rings and pistons and all the rest of it inside. You wouldn't have to worry about all that. You don't have to worry about changing spark plugs. And I said all that to say this. In the text that we read tonight, where is Thanksgiving? Where's it at? Maybe it's in the trunk of the model car because you don't see it overtly mentioned. Okay? But we know that Paul says praying always with all supplication in the Spirit, and we make prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, letting our requests be made known unto God. So we know thanksgiving is important. So even though thanksgiving is not explicitly mentioned, pretty sure we could say that it's part of the prayer that we would pray, and we'll look at that here in just a moment. So let's just take a minute tonight and look here, verse number 2. And he said unto them, if you pray, say. Now, did I read that right? No, I didn't read that right, did I? No. What's that first word? When you pray. Okay? When you pray. So it's not a matter of if Christians pray, it's a matter of when we pray. Okay? When you pray, say, watch this, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth, etc. Let's look at the very first thing tonight. The very first thing in this prayer is that it discusses a relationship. Look at this. Our Father. Now, the first thing I want you to see there is the plural pronoun, our. Okay? It's our Father. So what that means is, as we come together as a family, remember the disciple says, teach us to pray. So if Jesus were here teaching us how to pray, he would say that we would need to pray our Father. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying my Father in heaven, etc. Nothing wrong with saying those words, but as the prayer is given here, this is something that we're going to pray together. So at the end of the service, when we come, we're going to pray our Father. We're going to pray that out together. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean we're going to pray all in unison and you're going to repeat after me. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. Savannah's going to play. We're going to pray for five minutes at least. And then we're going to spend some time working through this. And I want you to keep this in mind again as we pray. So the first thing that's mentioned is relationship. The first thing we need to remember is that prayer directs us to God. That ought to be first and foremost. Now watch this. We're not cutting ourselves like the priests of Baal do. We're not jumping up and down. We're not crying a little louder. We're not going through some type of ritual to get God's attention. Automatically, we come into the very presence of God because of the intercession of the one who sits on the right hand of the majesty on high. We're able to come into his presence. Don't have to worry about it. The blood's on the mercy seat. The sacrifice, the atonement has been made. And because of that, we can come boldly under the throne of grace. So we can come right in tonight. The first thing is we need to remember that prayer is about our relationship. The first thing is that we focus on God himself. Prayer brings us into that relationship or that position where we recognize our relationship with God. We're not just up here giving out a laundry list and a bag sheet that we're saying some magical incantations over and closing it within Jesus' name to make sure we get the right incantation and say it right so God has to answer. You hear me? We've got to be very careful about that. Okay? So the very thing that begins with is our relationship. If we begin with that relationship of God being our Heavenly Father, that says some things about his position and our position. If he's the Father, who are we? We're the children. We're the youngins. We're the sons and daughters. All right? That means that, and I don't know how it is at your house, but at my house, the Father is the head. So the decisions that are made fall on my shoulders. Children don't run the household. Parents run the household. Come on now. Hey, man. Yeah, man, children don't run the household. Parents do. Now, you see some children in town and some children in some churches, and it's like, guarantee you I know who rules the roost. It's that little tyke who's, you know, whether he's 3 or she's 8, it doesn't matter. They rule. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And prayer in this passage as the model prayer, it puts God as Father, which reminds us that we're children. We're not in charge. In fact, if we were in charge, why would we be praying in the first place? So as we begin our prayer, the model prayer begins with the words, our Father. Prayer is a family privilege that we have together, that we come as a family, as a church family. Our is the pronoun we'll use here. And we approach God as our Father. There's nothing wrong with talking to God as Lord. There's nothing wrong with talking to God as God. Nothing wrong with talking to God in that way. But the familial, the family relationship is emphasized right off the bat by Jesus here. That's not to be missed. So when we come to pray, remember that we're coming into the presence of the Father. All right? Our Father. So the very first thing is relationship. Number two, the second thing that I want us to see tonight is reverence. So we come into that place of the Father, but we reverence our Father. I've seen children talk back to their dads. I've seen children be disrespectful to their mothers. Seen all that. And I know you've seen it before too. And it's hard for me not to just like want to jack somebody up when they do that. Okay, I remember one time there was a brother Ed Ballou told the story. He went into a Kmart, if that tells you anything, back in the day, and the kid was over there pitching a fit because his mama wouldn't give him a quarter to ride the horse. Okay, did y'all ride the horses when you were younger? Amen. And pitched a fit, and mom was just exasperated. Brother Ballou just kind of. Of course, Brother Blue, he's about 6 foot, 6 foot one. You know, he was an Indian. And, I think his grandmother, full-blooded Cherokee. So he got down and just had a way about him. Then he whispered something in the boy's ears, and he just stopped. He just walked in the store and said, what did he say? He said, if you don't straighten up, I am going to pull my belt off, and I'm going to wear your little butt out right here in front of everybody. And that got his attention. Now, today, that would get you to go to jail for child abuse, when really child abuse is not bringing that child's will into the submission to his parent. That's child abuse. All right, that's not what I'm preaching on tonight, but I just thought I'd mention that anyway because I want to be a blessing to you. All right. Now, the very first thing here is relationship, but the next one is reverence. Notice this. The reverence part is this, hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed here, talking about his name, means that his name is holy. It is set apart from other people's names. It's, if you will, let me use another phrase, high and lifted up. There ought not to be, oh my, and then the name God used after that by believers. Amen. We ought to not be so plumb tuckered out, sit down and go, oh, G-O-D, I am so tired. That ought not to be the pattern of vocabulary that comes from people who name the name of Christ. In fact, what's bad is there are some Baptists I have heard say, oh my, and then say God. I've heard preachers say it from the pulpit. It just drives me insane. You've got unsaved Jews. Watch me. They'll write the letter G, they'll write a dash, then they'll write the letter D because they don't want to say Hashem, the name. They don't want to say the name of God because they don't want to be guilty of taking God's name in vain. Amen. Okay? We ought to have a greater respect for that. His name is a hallowed name. It's a holy name. I mean, and I know it might, I can't remember, what was it, the old statesman years ago who sang, have you talked to the man upstairs? God ain't the man upstairs. Right. Amen. God is not some old man sitting upstairs waiting to hear what you you want to say. That's not the way God's to be approached. His name is holy, and his name ought to be revered as such. It ought to be reverenced. Remember the young man in the Old Testament, I believe it's in the book of Exodus, who blasphemed the name of the Lord? They put him in ward, find out what God wanted to do, and God said, stone him to death. Right. Kill him. Right. Can you imagine that? Many of us would have been stoned to death because we disrespected our parents. Right. Many of us would have done that way. So, and some of you children don't take, well, mom and dad were disrespectful to their parents. I'm going to be disrespectful too. No, they'll jack you up, okay? I'm just telling you. That's, yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. Amen. If you love life and you want to see good days, I mean, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right, that it may be well with thee and the days may be long upon the earth. So God's name is holy. So we begin with reverence for God. He is our Father. He's not a cruel taskmaster, but a loving Father. The Catholic view of Jesus, of God, is often caricatured, but it's oftentimes misinformed. So my understanding of God years ago was God is up in heaven with a club waiting to beat me over the head if I don't do something right. And I'm telling you, nearly 50 years old to this day, that still pervades my mind when I'm not focused scripturally on the person of God. And so here's the Catholic version. Well, we go to Mary to go to Jesus because Jesus goes to his Father. And, well, we got to go to Mary to go to Jesus so we get Mama to, you know, kind of calm everybody down. And just stop it with the reasoning because it's unbiblical. It's absolutely unbiblical. God is not a cruel taskmaster. He's a loving Father. But his name is holy. It's not something that ought to be used flippantly. It's something that ought not to be used irreverently. It's something that ought to be used in a prayerful mind and attitude. So we ought to have reverence for God when we come in to pray. So notice here, we've not even prayed for forgiveness. That's later on down the line. So we have relationship, then we have the reverence. Notice that the reverence focuses on God's person. It focuses on God's plan, and it focuses on God's, the acts that he performs in the earth. Look down here at verse number 2. So he says, hallowed be thy name. Notice this, thy kingdom come. Too many of us want to pray, my kingdom come. Most of us want to get God to agree with our plans, whereas prayer is for us to put ourselves under the submission and the plan of God. God's kingdom is the one that's going to come. And people throw off and say, well, this is, you know, he's in the Gospels, he's preaching to the Jews. They're talking about, listen, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, Romans tells us. And so with that, we need to understand that there is a kingdom of God that we work and we labor in. In fact, unless except a man be born again, he can't see or enter what? The kingdom of God. So we're praying on God's kingdom to come. Not only do we want God's kingdom to come, we want God's kingdom here. We want his plans that he has got in order to perform on this earth to come to pass. We want God's will to be done. We want God's will to be done in our lives just as if God's will is done in heaven. Does anybody question God's will in heaven? Does anybody say, okay, God the Father said this, let's all take a vote and see if we angels want to go along? That don't happen. Prayer brings us into that very place where we are submissive to the voice and the will of God. If God's word says it, that settles it. We submit to it. That's it. And if we are truly reverent as we ought to be, and we have that reverential respect for God, the time that we spend in prayer is not going to be so much on, and I'm talking, you know, outside of, well, never mind, let me just come back to this. Our prayer's not going to be so much on a beg list or a beg sheet, but it's going to focus on bringing us into line with what God says. Now, what exactly is going on in Ukraine and Russia? What could be happening with Finland wanting to join NATO and all that's going to pass? We don't know what the world's going to look like in a year from now. We don't know what the United States is going to look like a year from now. We have no idea. Okay? But here's the thing I do know, that God has a final plan for the world. I think I kind of sort of understand the general view of it, but God's not divulged to me, and I'm going to burst your bubble here, nor has he told you the every small detail of his plan, what he's going to do. So what we need to do is simply be mindful to pray that God's will be done. Just as it's done in heaven, as it's done in earth. Nobody's balking against God in heaven. Nobody's questioning God. Nobody's trying to rebel against God. That's what we'd love to see here. But right now you've got an atheistic world leader invading another country, a former territory of that country, in a bid to rebuild the so-called greatness of the former Soviet Union. Well, that's nothing but a megalomaniac attempting to take over the world, much like, who was it that said something about he was going to ascend to the Most High, and he was going to ascend to the Mount of the Congregations in the side of the north? Who was that? Was that Satan? I believe that was Satan. And you know, every world leader has had pretty much the exact same goal. It may not be heaven, but it may have been to be God on earth. And whenever the Roman emperors would die, you know what happened? They were deified. They were worshipped as gods. Sounds to me like Satan has simply put that thought into the heart and mind of a certain leader, Mr. Putin, and called him, or planted that in his mind, and let him take over and do what he wants to do. We need to pray for God's will to be done. I don't know what's going to happen. You don't either, but I know God wins at the end of it. But anyway, we ought to pray for God's kingdom to come. We ought to pray for His will to be done. And last of all, look at this. Give us day by day our daily bread. Here's the request. These are the requests. We start off with a relationship. We go to reverence. Then we go to the request. Notice that the requests do not come until we've put ourselves into the presence of God. Now, why is that important? Watch this. If God's our Father, He's in charge, we're not. We truly say those words from our heart. We truly are saying, Hallowed be Thy name. We truly are saying, Thy kingdom come and Thy will be done. And we brought ourselves in line with His will. What particular request do we have that now we were going to ask them, but we don't know exactly how they line up in the will of God, and do we even mention those? You say, well, do I mention those things? Let me ask you a question. Are the things you're praying for, are they in God's will? Is it God's will for sinners to be saved? Then ask God to save sinners. Now, when it says, give us day by day our daily bread, there's a request to take care of us personally. Now, what about the other request of people to be saved? Of saints to be strengthened, of churches to be strengthened, of churches to grow, of us as church members to do what we can do here. Amen. To try to be everything for the glory of God that we can be here and also outside of the church. There are so many things that we can put in here. But the main thing I want to see is this. The requests do not begin until God's been worshipped. And so here in a little while when we come and pray, you're going to be very mindful of that. So I want to challenge you, don't go back to the same pattern of prayer that you've used the entire time. You know, dear God, thank you for the day that you've given us. Please bless Johnny. Please bless Susie. Bless John Boy and Mary Ellen. And, you know, God bless us everyone. And then you're done. That's not how prayer ought to be done. We've been given a pattern here. And so the one request here is just for daily bread. It's not for anything extravagant. It's not for anything, you know. Should I even say this? One of these days, I'm going to be, you know, forgive me for being carnal, all right? Forgive me for being carnal. Some of you ladies will not understand what I'm going to say, but you men will if you're true men. If you're not a true man, you won't understand what I'm saying here. I'm gonna buy another rifle. I'm gonna buy one. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. Now, is it right to buy a rifle? Well, I'm a man. I got a Y chromosome. It's always right to buy a rifle. Now, if you're in debt, you got to go in debt for it. No, it's not. Okay. But here's the thing. I'm gonna buy now. Am I gonna pray and ask God to like drop a rifle out of heaven for me to buy? I'm not gonna do that. Now, has He done that? Yeah, He has. Amen. He's done that before. Amen. Bless His name. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm a lever gun sucker. And I've got a couple I'm looking at, and I'm going to buy one. Okay? I just like lever guns. I watched The Rifleman growing up. Nothing you can do to change that, just the way it is. I like a lever gun. If you disagree with that, you know, when you're up here tonight praying, you just ask the Lord to forgive you and go on. All right? Now, but here's the thing. I'm not going to pray and worship God, ask God's kingdom to come, put myself into God's presence, saying, oh, Lord, by the way, would you give me a... I'm not going to do that. There may be a time and a place where God draws my heart out and says, I'll give you whatever you would ask for, per se. And he'd be like, well, Lord, I'd really like to have that. I didn't even ask for the last rifle that I got. The Lord just graciously gave it to me. Not to say bless his name for that. Amen. That's a blessing. But I want you to notice that in this model prayer, what was specifically asked for ourselves, was what was necessary to accomplish, if I can say it this way, our work, our mission in the kingdom on a daily basis. I do not need a rifle to accomplish the work of God. Now, if I was a Muslim, I would. But I don't need a rifle to accomplish the work of God. All right? What do I need? I need daily food to give me strength and energy so that I can do what God wants me to do. Okay. Part of that is opening up this book and looking and studying and reading and cross-referencing and all the rest of that stuff that you all are so gracious to let me do during the week, which is a wonderful thing. And I enjoy every minute of that. Sometimes it's hard and it's laborious and all the rest of it. But at that point in time, I want us just to see that. And I've only been up here about 30 minutes or so, which is amazing. All right, not long at all. Maybe 35, I don't know. Three words. Relationship, reverence, then request. And notice the last request was to forgive us of our sins. Typically, when I start off prayer, I'll ask God to forgive me because I want to get the channel cleared out. Okay? And it could be that that's necessary. I mean, David prayed a prayer just of forgiveness in Psalm 51. All right? So we have patterns of that. Now again, this is a model prayer. It's a pattern. What does a pattern do? A pattern can be adjusted. A pattern can be used. If you're going to make a shirt for me, okay, you're going to make a shirt for Dylan, you'd have to use, and if you want to use the same pattern, well, you'd have to make sure that his measurement's just a tad bit smaller. Okay? The pattern may be the same, but the measurements may be a little smaller depending on the maturity level of somebody else. So tonight, I want to encourage you to take this pattern, and as we pray, because sometimes it's going to happen, like I've called on Brother Artie, I've called on Brother David to pray, whenever we've opened up prayer, you know, during like Wednesday night prayer meeting, or when we come up here to pray like we're going to do tonight. And I've asked Brother Eric, and I've asked some of you men I haven't asked. I don't know why I haven't. I just need to call your name out and ask. Like, I don't pray out loud. Well, just let me know, and we'll make adjustments on that. But I want to encourage you, whether you pray aloud or whether you pray silently, I want to encourage you to use this as a biblical pattern, because conforming to a biblical pattern that Jesus has given, you can't go wrong with it. You just can't go wrong with it. All right? So Taylor, do this way. Any word on anybody's heart as far as this goes tonight? What we've mentioned, anything at all? I want questions, comments. Sure. I've heard it both ways. I've heard it both ways. Typically, the way I have heard it is more or less because it's talking about, you know, God's kingdom and his accomplishing the will of God on earth. And having it's interesting in having dealing with, you know, sins and all. It's like day by day, our daily bread, we shift from the spiritual to the physical. So now, I don't know that I could say that that would hold up in every single context, but I've honestly heard it preached both ways. Typically, I've heard it where we just need to pray for our daily needs as far as like food and all the rest of it. Whereas, if you were to use that particular mindset and pray that, you know, I need more of Jesus, don't think that God's going to be disappointed with that, simply because that is really where we ought to be. I mean, that ought to be our encouragement. In fact, probably if you come right down to it, we're talking to our Father, hallowed be thy name, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's going to focus us away from ourselves, how inadequate we are to accomplish the will of God. And if we're so inadequate, we're going to have more of Him to help us. Okay? Now, don't want to throw out too much here tonight, give you too many details. But years ago, I heard a fella, and I could call his name, and there might be one or two people who would know him in Tennessee. But he would pray this: Jesus, my Heavenly Father, help us. We thank you, Jesus, my Heavenly Father, for the day you've given us. Jesus, my Heavenly Father, help us out. Here's a problem with that. Okay? Jesus is not the Heavenly Father. They're two different persons in the Godhead. So sometimes we might just kind of like let our mind wander and we let something slip like that. Don't nail yourself to the wall. Just realize you're not being doctrinally accurate. Bring yourself back into line. Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't let my mind wander. You know my heart and what I meant to say. And I know the poor dear brother that, you know, there was something with his heart, you know, being in the right place for that. But as far as that goes, let's just try to be as orthodox and biblical as possible to pray, all right? So, anything else tonight? No. Yes, yes. Sure.
You know, the other side of the parties where they say it's okay to marry with same sex. Anyway, I say that to also, it becomes a problem even deeper when us as a Christian, we go out in the world and we don't really show our Christian life, or when we refer to friends. I say this to say, we have to say, when we as fellows, you know, we talk and we say, I think that we know which God it is. But if we go out in the world, we have to discern which God we serve. Like, I think Jesus Christ.
That's like, there are so many people who would catch a lot of flack because people who would pray before, you know, like at the state house or in public government, you may not end your prayers in Jesus' name. Well, then, no, then I'm not gonna pray. I'm not gonna ask God's blessing on you. If you cannot honor God's name, don't ask for God's blessing. Don't ask for it. And don't disrespect Him. But yes, yeah, there God, we gotta be. Sure.
We were talking at different occasions back and forth, and then I realized that her God was a different God. And then I see her status a different thing.
Yeah.
So one day I just say, I thank Jesus Christ, because I mentioned with
her. Sure. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Brother Kirk.
Bread is also our
that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because that is absolutely a daily need. Every day there needs to be a dispensing, just as we put food into our bodies every day to be able to maintain life. You and I have got to have God's grace. In fact, it's God's grace that gives us the bread. And I know we go work, and I know we, you know, you have the breath, the strength to do a job, you know, get paid, and then, you know, go to the grocery store and all the rest of that, or buy the ingredients to make the bread or whatever. It's God who does that. So, absolutely. Absolutely. And because this is a pattern for prayer, when I see just the Lord saying, you know, to ask us, for us to ask for this, nothing that's great and extravagant, it's something that is necessary. It's absolutely necessary. And so if it's necessary, if it's something that is necessary, obviously grace is going to be. There's nothing wrong. Years ago, I remember hearing the men pray at the church when I first started going to church with Audrey, and it was, you know, people thank God for life, for health, and for strength. And I'm thinking, man, I've never heard that before. But that was amazing to me to think they thank God for giving them life, God giving them good health, and strength to be able to move about. I had never taken the time, so I had to step back and realize that, you know, like the song goes, I can't even walk, you know, without you holding my hand, because it's God's grace and strength that allows us to have. I mean, it's God who breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. So without God's giving us the breath, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. And without God giving us his grace, absolutely. So, man, because it's a pattern, brother, I'm right there with you. I think that's good. So any other tonight? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's right. That's good. And the verse brother already quoted is Matthew 6:33, and in the beginning part of Matthew 6 is where we have this same passage. So it's interesting. So we're praying for God's kingdom to come, and if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all those daily needs we have are going to be added unto us. And, you know, had I gone to Matthew, so maybe... Okay, your homework tonight is to read Matthew 6 and see all those things that y'all had talked about is right there in the middle of that text. And to take no thought for our lives, know what we're going to eat, what we're going to put on, because the Heavenly Father knows we have need of those things. So seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all those things will be added unto us. That's exactly right, Brother Artie. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. So here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to come in. We're going to pray like we do on for our little, you know, I say a little 5-minute prayer. 5 minutes is not a long time. And the first time I said 5-minute prayer, some of you may have thought, what can I say for 5 minutes? Because really, until you've prayed for 5 minutes straight, you probably think it's just a short amount of time. But 5 minutes can be a lengthier time than what you may be used to, because sometimes we're not used to praying for a long time on that. But prayer is partially to draw out our hearts in worship. Remember, relationship, reverence, then request. And so Savannah, come on ahead and let you play for us tonight. So, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm hoping everybody's listening real good, because this is, yeah, this is good. Yeah.
It's not an ending to a prayer, it doesn't end there. And I think it's important to know
Amen. Were you going to say something? You look like Dixie was going to say something.
You mentioned the verse, we are told, commanded to pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, years ago when I took the course in the Bible Institute on prayer, best class I've ever taken, and someone asked the question, how do you know that you've gotten through to God in your prayer closet? How do you know that? Whether it's like prayer up here tonight, whether it's prayer, how do you know that you've gotten through? How do you know that? And the brother responded, and you take it however you want to, you know, chew on it. But he said, when you don't want to leave is when you know you've gotten through. And so with what Brother Kurt is saying, that, you know, just because you close off in Jesus' name does not mean it's over, because there ought to be an attitude of prayer. I've read about men who they would not even, I think it was Thomas Jackson, Stonewall Jackson, who said he would not even bring a glass of water to his mouth, but what he thanked God for the water of life. It's like, man, that's good stuff right there. That's good. Most of us, I'm thinking, I didn't thank the Lord for the water of life I drank up here, or this water I did about 20 minutes ago. But that mindfulness and that attitude of prayer is so needed. And I'll be honest with you, it's needed here amongst us as we pray. So, amen. Anybody else tonight? So if you want to, you're welcome to come here and pray. And again, we're just going to take this time, the requests specifically, tonight, for our church, for the world situation that's going on, our nation and leaders specifically, and we'll give you an opportunity to take what we've heard tonight and put that into practice. So, Savannah, honey, you go ahead and start, and we'll pray tonight.